Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will have a call-in for fathers who are active in your children's schools. This is a follow-up on yesterday when we had a mother who wrote a piece on Slate about ceasing to volunteer with bake sales and things like that. And it was mentioned at one point that it's usually the moms who are the preponderance of the volunteers. And dads called up right away and said, no, we're here too. So today we're going to have a call in just for fathers who volunteer at your children's school. After we talk about the Obama administration's Cash for Clunkers program, which has been touted as a huge success. But was it really successful? And for whom? Patchwork Nation, the project that tracks different community types to see how economic trends play out at the local level, has just released their report on the Cash for Clunkers program. They have figured out who took the federal government up on their offer to give away $4,500 in order to buy a new car this summer. And it turns out, maybe not surprisingly, that the people who benefited from the program were making above average incomes in three kinds of communities around the country. Joining me now to explain where the cash and the Cash for Clunkers program actually went is Dante Chinney, the project director of Patchwork Nation. You may have seen him recently in a series on the PBS NewsHour, which is a partner of Patchwork Nation. Dante Chinney, welcome back to WNYC. Hi, Dante.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good, thank you. There were nearly 700,000 cars sold through the Cash for Clunkers program, so where in the country did the cash in the Cash for Clunkers program go?
Well, it turns out that the money went, you know, the largest per capita and, you know, and obviously in real terms because a lot of people live there, it went to this area called the Moneyed Burbs, mostly. Those are places with above average incomes, you know, places that are around the big kind of industrial cities and counties in the country. And then also places we call campus and careers, those are college towns, and boom towns. Those are places that really kind of exploded, their population exploded in the first half of this decade. They're dealing a little bit more with the housing crisis now, but they're still, in terms of incomes, they do a little better than everybody else. And if you look at, you know, the majority of the money went to those places, and in terms of the subsidy per capita, those places really did much better than everybody else. They were getting, you know, when you break it down to the people in those places, you know, 10, 11 bucks, close to 12 bucks per person. That may not sound like a lot, but you multiply that by, you know, 60, 70 million people, it's quite a chunk of change. That is an economic stimulus for those places.
So you've got all these cool new demographic categories for looking at America in demographic terms. Moneyed burbs, boom towns, and campus and career counties are the ones where you just said most of the cash and Cash for Clunkers went. How does the New York metro area fit into that?
Well, mostly the New York metro area, when you're dealing with the five boroughs anyway, falls into a huge group of big, diverse, big city counties called the industrial metropolis. Now, you know, obviously when you get out to the rings around there, as I'm sure most people in your listening area know, they're definitely moneyed burbs. But, you know, the industrial metro areas didn't do as well in Cash for Clunkers. Now, those areas are, you know, New York is a real mix. I mean, you have some people who are very wealthy and you have some people who aren't as wealthy. But those places in general do need help because you have a lot of people that aren't so wealthy in those places, and they could use an infusion of cash. I mean, the big city mayors, as we know, I've been going out to Philadelphia and talking to folks there. You know, they need money. They feel they need federal money, and they probably didn't get a whole heck of a lot of it from this program anyway.
So it doesn't sound in general like low-income folks took the feds up on their offer very much. So that your main conclusion here is this: that this federal subsidy, this taxpayer subsidy, in effect, was distributed up the income chain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this ends up being, now the argument would be that that's not such a bad thing. You know, you give it to the moneyed burbs and they have the money and they go out and they buy things and it stimulates the consumer economy. And as we all know, the consumer economy is a lot of the U.S. economy. It's 2/3 of the U.S. economy. But, you know, the problem with that is it takes a while for that money to trickle down. And the other thing is we don't think about this because a lot of times we don't think about the vastness of the U.S., but it doesn't have to trickle down. It has to trickle out. So you know, if you live near, if you live around a lot of people who have a lot of money and they get a big stimulus, then they'll spend the money and it kind of flows through the community. But when you get further and further away, that's just not so true. I mean, you know, you get a couple hundred miles away from a big city, it's going to take a long time for that money to work its way out there.
Some of the other counties with the titles that you identify them by are service worker centers,
yeah,
evangelical epicenters, and minority central, which maybe that's inner cities.
It ends up primarily, I mean, it's an awful name. We did it because it's primarily the South. A lot of them are based in the Southeast. There are some in the industrial Midwest. They're counties with below average incomes, and it's a pretty even split, primarily between African-American and white populations. You're talking about 40, 60, or 50-50 in some places. We called it Minority Central because we did have to lump in some counties out west where the populations are Native American. They do face many of the same issues, and in terms of incomes and some other issues they're dealing with, they fall into the same category.
Now, some people are calling up. Let me give out the phone number if you want to ask anything of Dante Chinney from Patchwork Nation, who looked at where the cash and cash for clunkers actually went. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So, Dante, why didn't they target these communities? Why didn't they craft the program so that these more working-class parts of America, service worker centers, evangelical epicenters, Minority Central, would have gotten more of the benefit?
I think that they were torn. I think this is the problem with this program is, what was it really? I mean, it was, well, it's a program to get more fuel-efficient cars on the street. That's a fine thing. And it's a program to stimulate building. I mean, more cars. We want more cars built. That's a good thing. But, you know, those two things don't really go hand in hand. I think the one thing you could have done to really improve this program in terms of reaching the poor would have been to say, look, we're going to give you a break. If you bring in your clunker, we're going to give you a break no matter what kind of car you buy, because there are a lot of fuel-efficient used cars sitting on people's lots. And, you know, that can be a big difference to somebody who doesn't make a lot of money. You know, you come in and the sticker price on a new car is $22,000 and the sticker price on the used is maybe $15,000. You know, you throw in $3,000 tax credit. If the car is $22,000, that's still a lot of money to people. You knock $7,000 off the price, maybe they can make that purchase. I mean, so that I think would have been the biggest thing they could have done. It would be interesting to talk to people in the administration. I'm sure this is stuff that they've thought about. A lot of people have talked about how the used cars weren't part of it. But I think it was a program that was just trying to be a couple of different things, and because it was trying to be these different things, it missed out on what it really could have been.
And by the way, listeners, I should have said this right at the top, but we have a link on our show page to the very colorful and very user-friendly Patchwork Nation Cash for Clunkers subsidy map that you can scroll your mouse over and see where your county is and look at the nation as a whole in this respect. So you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for the Cash for Clunkers subsidy graphics from the Patchwork Nation Project. 212-433-WNYC, our phone number. Alec in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hello.
How's it going, Brian?
Okay, what's
your question? You guys were just talking about how there's going to be some kind of trickle-down by richer people buying a car at whatever $4,500, $5,000 less. I don't necessarily know how is that a guarantee that they're going to spend that money in the economy. I mean, just because I get a discount on something doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to spend that money somewhere else.
I think that's a really good point. I think that's another point with this program in general. What's going on in the economy right now is not just that. When you give people cash, I mean, people are concerned about where the economy is heading, and they have debts to pay off. So maybe that money is actually going to help pay off debts that those people have, credit card bills, or maybe there's been a bump up in their mortgage. So there is no guarantee of that. I mean, that's absolutely true. And then the other thing I do think is the trickle, you know, we can talk, there people talk a lot about whether or not trickle-down economics works. I think that when you throw in the level of geography to it and where the money has to go, it really does, it shows the real problems with trying to do it, or at least the challenges to trying to make something like that work.
Larry in Bayside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Brian. I don't think the program was ever intended to relieve the lowest economic strata of the United States. I think it was designed to spur the auto industry when they were in the middle of nowhere. And since a new car costs between $24,000 and $26,000, no one assumed that people making $25,000 or less were going to take a $4,000 subsidy and go out and buy a new car. That part of our economy buys used cars. This was never intended to somehow equalize the economic structure of the United States. It's an auto support bill, and a fairly modest one if you look at it that way.
Larry, that's a good point. And Dante, you were starting to get at that before, but let's focus in a little more closely on Larry's point. I know that you said it's a bill that was supposed to spur production and also, just start some money flowing around. But what about specifically trying to save the car dealers, people who work in car dealerships, other auto-dependent kinds of companies, which were such in a state of collapse at the time that this was formulated?
I think that's true. I mean, this was definitely aimed at helping those people, trying to help those dealerships in particular, and the automakers. Though, I mean, I'm going to write something Friday. When you look at what was purchased and what kinds of cars were purchased in different places, it whether or not it ends up helping the U.S. auto industry is obviously, that's a big question mark. I don't think there's anything wrong with helping the dealers, and doing what you can to help them. But I'm saying when you look at the depth of this recession and how bad things got. And how bad they really still are. The places that really need the help the most are the poorer places. And I'm all for spurring auto production. Hey, I grew up in Detroit. It's wonderful, but it's a lot of money. You're essentially throwing $3 billion into the economy, and that's not a huge chunk of money, but it's a decent slice of cash. And you're putting it into, really, when you did this program, what you're doing is you're saying it's going to end up flowing into these places, and we understand that. I'm not sure if that's the best solution for helping to perk the economy up, even if it does. And the propping up of the auto industry, I think, is ultimately temporary. I mean, a lot of people would say this is really just releasing pent-up demand that was going to be released at some point anyway. It just came out in August instead of maybe coming out in a more spread-out period over November, December, January, February.
Or a couple of years. So before you go, President Obama was at a Home Depot in Virginia yesterday pushing what the administration is calling the Cash for Caulkers program. And that's aimed at spurring homeowners to retrofit their homes to make them more energy efficient. They're offering $23 billion in incentives. Do you think we can expect a result similar to the Cash for Clunkers program?
Well, I mean, you're not talking about big purchases. So theoretically, that could really have more of an impact. I mean, and I think that what you're going to get out of it, if it works, is something a little more important, too. You're talking about making long-term changes in where people live in order to try to bring down energy bills. Right. It may ultimately be a better way of spending this. We'll look at it when we can start charting that money and looking where it's going. I'd be curious to see it. But to me, just on the surface, it sounds like it might be a smarter way of doing this.
Of course, you at least have to be a homeowner and not a renter.
That's true. Yes, that's true. That's
very
true.
To get that subsidy. All right, Dante Cheney from the PBS Patchwork Nation Project, or in partnership with PBS, and you can see his Patchwork Nation Cash for Clunkers total subsidy county by county colorful map linked on our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up right after this break. A call-in for fathers who volunteer at your children's school. Call up and tell us what you do. Tell us what the atmosphere is like. Tell us if it's a female-dominated environment and if that makes it difficult for you in any way. And tell us what the main issues are that you're finding in the schools where you volunteer. Volunteering dads, call in 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.